You may find it helpful to have the Bible reading open in front of you. Probably not as helpful as it most weeks. The shape of the sermon will be a little bit different, but it's page 1083 if you need that. We give awards for all sorts of things. I have to say, when some of the awards that we give are more important than others. I'm not going to list all the sort of ridiculous awards that we give things for and the kind of world records that you can now hold. But on a day like this, we do recognise, don't we, acts of service. Those deeper things that do deserve an award. Where the action has been deeper, where it's been costly, or where it's been a sacrifice. Or those unexpected acts of service where a situation develops and there's an unexpected service of others and sacrifice made. We see that in the medals which soldiers receive for their service in the military. It's a recognition of service for others, a more serious kind of service. That giving up of life for others. We'll say later that the war memorial in what is now Myanmar from the Burma conflict. When you go home, tell them of us and say, for your tomorrow we gave our today. We recognise, don't we, serious acts of service. Well, in John 15, verse 13, Jesus tells us what the greatest service is. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. Greater love has no one than this. Now, when you start making absolute, complete claims like that, Jesus is saying, this is the truth. There is no greater love than this. And when people start talking like that, we want to know whether they have a right to talk like that. Can Jesus make such claims? Well, the answer to that, of course, is yes. He said earlier in the gospel, the one who comes from above is above all. The one who's from the earth belongs to the earth and speaks as one from the earth. The one who comes from heaven is above all. For the one whom God has sent speaks the words of God. For God gives the Spirit without limit. Jesus is speaking of himself, of course. I hesitate to mention Christmas so early in the year. But that is when we remember, isn't it, that the Word came from heaven and was made flesh amongst us. God came amongst us. And the one who comes from heaven is above all. So if the one who speaks from the one from earth speaks of earthly things, so the one from heaven speaks of what he has seen and heard in the presence of God from all eternity. So Jesus does have the right to make these sorts of absolute universal claims. And in fact, the decision of life is whether to listen to him or not. That is the decision that we as God's created beings have to make. Will we listen to the one from above or not? But he also has a right to make this claim because he will love in this way. He puts his money where his mouth is, so to speak. At verse 12, he says, "My command is this, love each other as I have loved you." He's not asking anything that he has not done himself. "Love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than he's laid down his life for his friends." So if we want to know what love is, if we really want to know what love is, then this is the place that we have to look, or this is the person to whom we have to look. Moving away from a kind of sentimental view of love, you know, what love means to me is, and then sometimes I think about clouds and fairies or something. What love means to me, not that, this is what love is. The same writer, John, will say later in his letter, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. Jesus speaks what love is. He demonstrates what love is. On his authority, this is the greatest love. To lay down life for another. Denying self, other person centeredness. Sacrifice, the giving of self for another. Self-centeredness is what comes most naturally to me. Talk to any of my family. You know me. So self-centeredness is what comes most naturally. Love is other person-centeredness. It's the other person that drives the sacrifice. The world recognizes this. This is generally true across humanity. There's something good and right about something that costs you for the good of another. We might not quite be able to put a finger on quite why that is good and right, but generally we recognize it as good and right. On top of that, in a culture where historically the gospel, the good news of Jesus, has taken deep root, that is more clearly understood. You can see it in sort of the way what we call certain people. We have a prime minister. A minister is just the Latin for servant, a leading servant. We have a civil service. This is about serving others. Now, of course, you may have complaints about various things in the political arena, and that it might be slightly more self-serving than the titles that we give these people should allow. But we talk about military service. We talk about the police service. And so at their best, this is an expression of a Christian idea. The service of others is the greatest love that we show, not the service of self. And we see that in news stories that we have. Someone will tragically die in the act of rescuing another. And today, of course, we particularly remember the many who have died in war to save our nation from tyranny. A laying down of life to rescue. And in the horror of a world that does know evil and enemies, it's on our news every day, isn't it? There is something right and noble and even beautiful about the one who lays down his life for another. And we see that that is right because it's an echo in our world of the sacrifice, the laying down of life. In the face of the enemy that all humanity faces, evil and death, the greatest sacrifice is that of the Lord Jesus Christ, who, in a very different kind of battle, a very different kind of fight, laid down his life in order to rescue those who were under the power of those enemies. Our sin, which enslaves us, the temptation and power of evil, and in the end, death and separation from God. They were the enemies that he came to deal with, and he did so by laying down his life. And so the reason that we think that there is something right about sacrifice is because it echoes that greatest sacrifice. It lies at the heart of our world. That sacrifice is the central act of God in this world. Sending his son to come and fight and rescue us, and the resurrection which confirms his victory. So we're not so fallen that we don't see something right about the laying down of life in order to rescue. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. I think that's a surprise. Andy Cranston pointed this out in staff meeting. A greater love has no one that he lays down his life for his wife or her husband, for mother or father, for brother or sister. But now he says friend, not a blood relation. Now they say you can choose your friends and not your family. And you can choose friends. You have some authority over that, so to speak. You are in a position to call somebody your friend or not. It's a more deliberate choice on your part. There'd be loads of people that you don't know at all. You wouldn't call them your friend. But there may be some people that you do call your friend. And the question before us then would be, well, how much do you love them? Now, we're not talking about those friends, those people that we call friends because of what we think we can get from them. That's a very self-centered view of friendship. We're talking about an other person-centered friendship, where we're friends with people and we've chosen to be friends with them because of the opportunity we have to serve them, because we know that that's good. Jill and I visited Normandy for the first time back in May. I hadn't been educated properly, so I'd never done a World War II trip to northern France. So we left it until last year. And we saw the beaches and the cemeteries and the canals and the fortifications and so on. And we'd prepared for the visit by watching a whole load of good war movies. And then when you stand on the beach and when you see the cemeteries, you see the evidence of people who laid down their life for their friends. Now, of course, there are wider associations in times of war. Soldiers are fighting to defend freedoms and nations and those back home. But they're standing with others, shoulder to shoulder. They did it for their friends. And quite often they were new friends. Nothing sentimental there. You know, there's no old photos or funny stories for these guys to tell. They haven't known each other long enough. There's no long history. Not blood relations, generally. But they committed to each other as they went up the beaches in the face of the enemy and laid down their lives for their friends. The Proverbs tell us that there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. And many survivors of the war would live to tell of such a friend who stuck closer than a brother and laid down their life. But the friend that Proverbs speaks of, that friend who sticks closer than a brother, that proverb is looking forward to the Lord Jesus. The one who comes from above, from heaven, and is above all, and then chooses to call people like you and me his friends because of what he will do for us as he stands with us. He says that in the passage, doesn't he, that was read. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I've called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I've made known to you. He chooses to stick closer than a brother. Just like those soldiers. He committed to us. In the face of our enemies, those eternal enemies of sin, death, and hell. And he came and he chose to stick closer than a brother. He chose to call us his friends, and he laid down his life for us. So if I ask you the question, what is God like? This is what God is like. God is like a servant who calls people like us his friends, comes from heaven to stand with us, fights the fight for us, lays down his life for us. God is other person centered. God gives himself. I don't know if you've ever thought about it like this way round. But the principle that giving your whole self, giving yourself at cost to yourself for the sake of others, that principle lies behind the whole universe. That's why it rings true when we see it. Because it's true of the God of heaven who created everything. We don't often think about God like this, but that is the very heart of who God is. God is love. So the one from above says, "My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. You're my friends if you do what I command." Because friends know the business of the master. What is the business of the master? The business of the master is to come from heaven and lay down life in order to serve and rescue others. This is what he commands. This is his business. So who will you do that for this week? Or to put it a different way, to whom will you be like God towards? Love each other as I have loved you. How are you going to be like God this week? Towards whom? You will literally have 24 hours of opportunity every day to do this. It's wonderful on a day like today, as we remember the great cost that was paid by many for us to enjoy the freedoms we enjoy, to be reminded that actually God is like that towards us. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you that you have loved us in your Son. Thank you that the Lord Jesus came from heaven and did not only speak about loving people, but fulfilled the greatest love and laid down his life for us. Thank you that we can call him our friend. Thank you that he calls us his friends. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that now knowing that the God of heaven is like this, and knowing what it means to be loved by the God of heaven like this, we pray, Heavenly Father, that by your Spirit, we will love each other as he has loved us. And we pray in his name. Amen.